Messi, Iniesta, Messi.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Wow, we've been away for months. More than months, it seems like. But we're back. I hope none of you guys unfollowed us on our website or unfollowed us on Twitter or Instagram or anything like that. We're back. We're in full effect and we'll be here until the end of the season. Just got some new equipment in. That's the reason for the hiatus. Big issues in the studio, but they all seem to have worked themselves out. So we're back. Bear with us on the levels. We're just trying to get all the levels back to being perfect. So some parts of the podcast might be low, some parts might be high, but in time we'll figure everything out and get it sounding like it used to. So just bear with us. But guys, as usual, you can get to our podcast from our website, footballweekly.com, football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L weekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, we're on Google Podcasts, we're everywhere. Any service you use to download podcasts, we're on it. This is no excuse for you not to be listening. Like I said before, we're on Twitter. Our Twitter handle, @football_weekly. Our Instagram handle, @football_weekly_podcast. So without any further ado, guys, we got so much to talk about. We haven't talked about MLS final. We haven't talked about Mourinho hiring, Pochettino firing, Arteta hiring. What's going on at Liverpool? What's going on at City? We haven't talked about Serie A. We haven't talked about anything. We have to get back into this. So guys, as usual, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this.
Hey guys, my name is Alex Comsia. I play for North Carolina FC, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
Joseph. Such a long time.
It's been a long time. Much happened? A ton.
No, what are you talking about?
Not much happened, man.
We didn't miss much. Guys, we wanted to start off our show same way pretty much everyone's starting off their shows now, especially in the light of the tragedy on Sunday. Just wanted to give our two cents about Kobe Bryant. I don't know about you, Joe, but I've never met him.
No, I've never had the pleasure.
Well, it's a sad situation, not just for Kobe Bryant, but you know, the 13-year-old daughter, the family of Kobe Bryant, and also the other members that were on the helicopter as well. Tragic. He's touched the lives of many of the many athletes throughout the world. During games during the French League in Italy, there were tributes that players were performing during after goal celebrations, like Neymar, who put the 2-4 up to signify 24, which is Kobe's number. Just a sad, sad situation. But he's one of those guys that just galvanizes all athletes, every sport. Even the hockey players had a moment of silence as well when they found out he passed that game. So, I mean, Joe, there's not really much to say. It's just a tragedy.
You covered it all in terms of how people are feeling. You know, the human story, obviously, it doesn't matter if you're an athlete, you know, celebrity, not, but obviously it's a little bit more magnified because we all know these people, have some type of connection with them.
Right.
Even though they might not know us, but obviously, you know, like you said, Reggie, a young man, he was 41 years old, 42 years old, and then his daughter and those other young people on, you know, the plane and other kids, it's just a tragedy that unfortunately will live with us. And it's one of those things where tragedy sees no race, color, you know, money, anything, matter. Right? Yep. It doesn't matter. So it's our hearts, you know, our prayers go out to all those people and all the people close to them, you know, and the other, you know, not just the famous people, but obviously the ones we see, but like we see Shaq talking about his connection to Kobe and, you know, throughout all those people's stories, it's a real terrible one. Obviously, with us in our show, we'll take a look at Kobe's impact through, or not his impact, but almost his connection to the world of football/soccer. Mm-hmm. And Kobe did have a big one. He was always, always, you know, talking about his love for the sport. Obviously, Kobe Bryant growing up in Italy.
Right, exactly.
Where his dad played, not only applying his trade in basketball in the United States, but he started in the youth leagues in Italy. Obviously, right. Not a hotbed back then, but, you know, his dad, Joe Jellybean Bryant, mm-hmm. who played in Italy for many years, and Kobe made his life there with his sisters and so on. So there was many tributes in Italy today, obviously, even in parts of, you know, the small towns where he grew up. You know, even the Italian league has done stuff, like Italian basketball league has done stuff for Kobe and so on. So yeah.
That's a worldwide reach.
Yeah, for sure. And like we said, so today, obviously AC Milan, well documented, you know, Kobe was a big, big Milan fan. And, you know, it's so strange that, you know, even before the death and the tragedy, there was interviews and stuff popping up the last week or so about Kobe's love for AC Milan. And it was coming up on my timeline. You know, a lot of Milan fans, just like you, following all the Arsenal sites and social media platforms and stuff, it was coming up. And it has his old interview when he was at Casa Milan, Milan Lab. And, you know, now we've all seen it and we've heard it. And he's, you know, Kobe, pretty amazing guy in terms of spoke fluent Italian, pretty good Spanish, you know.
Fantastic Spanish. They interviewed him when Chicharito signed, and he's perfect.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah,
you know, so. There was even, you know, I was listening this morning to a show here in Toronto, and, you know, he was trash talking Luka Doncic in Slovenian. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, like, I mean, if maybe it was a few words, but still, like, so yes, Kobe's love for football is well documented. And there's, you know, he was talking about his love for, AC Milan. His favorite soccer player growing up, footballer, was actually Marco Van Basten.
Not bad.
Which I thought was pretty amazing because, you know, Kobe's in our age group, myself and Reggie, and that's who when I first started liking AC Milan, like we talked about it being, you know, the first three Dutch players, Van Basten, Hullet, and Rijkaard.
Rijkaard, yep.
Right, you know, and of course for me, Paolo Maldini, but it was Paolo Maldini and those three. And, you know, here is, you know, this fan, superstar, world-class athlete who made his play his trade in, of course, the game of basketball. And I say the game of basketball because someone always reminded me yesterday that, you know, that's what Michael Jordan used to say, the game of basketball. And Kobe used to say that again, the game of basketball. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, and he talked about his love for that. So our connection with a guy like Kobe was always because of that, right? I mean, you're a huge basketball fan, Reggie.
Right.
I'm a pretty big basketball fan myself, and we do go way back, and we pride ourselves on being those 80s and 90s,
right,
you know,
yep.
Growing up in the 80s, right?
Yep.
And we always, you know, the guys that love soccer, we're the other athletes, we're always quick to point it out. Right? You know, yeah, you know, Kobe likes Milan, right? Yeah, he likes Barca too. Like, we'd always say that. And, you know, Kobe would always make time for that. And he really made a point. I mean, what stood out for me is I remember him going, of course, his love for AC Milan, of course, you know, Milan Joel, right, and so on.
Yeah.
But even in the height of Barcelona's greatness, I remember Kobe going to visit them with Xavi, Iniesta, Messi, Pep. And I remember thinking, you know, great athletes and greatness and great people want to be around greatness. And they want to see how that, you know, makes that tick. So I know I'm going on, but I think for us, we're focusing on his, you know, obviously we've talked about the prayers that go out to the families involved, all the people involved, right? But obviously with the Football Weekly podcast, we're looking at, you know, Kobe's love for this game that is truly, we know it's truly the world's game. We're biased because it's the only one that is. And maybe the other one that's close is Kobe's first love, is basketball. So
yeah, I would say basketball would be a close second to...
Second, for sure.
To soccer as being a world sport,
yeah.
Like you said, all over the world. Italian leagues taking time out, Spanish leagues taking time out.
I'm sure,
like in other European countries as well. So,
Yeah. So today, Reggie, just to finish that off, like we did talk about, so AC Milan played Torino in a Coppa Italia match, Italian Cup match. I played at the San Siro in Milan. You know, there was the hashtag Sempre Kobe, so always Kobe, mm-hmm. right? There was a tribute played at the beginning for Kobe Bryant on the screen there. The lights were dimmed and so on, so they did that tribute. The players wore black armbands in, you know, support of Kobe. Again, let's focus on the positive. AC Milan, the club, was doing this 100%. They said they were doing this no matter what. With some resistance, again, there's the Italian league getting in its own way. You know, the federation wasn't sure if they were going to support it. And then, of course, they did because AC Milan said, well, we're doing it anyway because that's the thing to do.
Right.
You know, so good for – and again, my bias toward my, you know, the club I support, well, we've had a lot of things go wrong on the field. But I'm proud of the club that I support because they are – especially in a country where – they haven't done it right in terms of the humanity thing. They constantly are at the forefront of that, and I'm proud of that. So they did a good job today with the Kobe thing. At the 24th minute in the game, the fans stood up in unison and clapped, you know, for Kobe. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, things are bigger than, you know, bigger than football, bigger than whatever. It's just, like we said, Reggie, it's about, you know, remembering human life, human loss, and, of course, Kobe and his daughter, the other people on board.
Such a tragedy, and yeah. I mean, everyone's talking about it, but we just wanted to give our two cents on what it means to us, and
for sure,
it's definitely not lost on us as well. So we all have our, you know, Kobe moments. So I mean, prayers go out to the family. You were talking about AC Milan, which is a pretty good segue into getting into what we're here for in the Football Weekly podcast. It's to talk about right. football, right? I mean, it stinks that we have to talk about tragedies like this, but
we wanted to address it.
We wanted to address it definitely, and give, like I said, our perspective on what Kobe's meant to us as far as, and we could sit here for 3 days and talk about the plays that we saw and this jersey I got and these shoes that I got, Kobe. But I mean, we just can't. So
no, of course.
We're gonna push on.
So the game today, Reggie, was, again, so a lot has happened since we've talked.
A little bit.
Juventus and Inter continue to battle at the top of Serie A. Juventus actually lost this weekend to Napoli.
Right.
Napoli in dire straits, I think, more than a Juve loss. I thought it was a Napoli, you know, when I'd say that Napoli used their life jacket, and they needed this one big time, to say the least. Mm-hmm. You know, Inter slips this weekend too. We'll talk about that. Juve holds a narrow, I believe it's a 2-point lead at the top, close to that. In all this, we've had the return of Zlatan Ibrahimovic to AC Milan.
Well, I think that's turned everything around there, no?
It's had, you know, Reggie, a lot of people said, wow, you know, there's Milan going with a signing that a guy's past his prime. True, past his best, but you're signing, and he's a player who's world-class, to say the least, and knows how to win. And this team, this club, needed an injection of a standard, right? A standard of excellence, accountability, and that's what Zlatan brings. Been there, done that, you know, been a pretty good mentor for Rafael Leao, who we've been waiting for to get more time, finally has. Ante Rebic, who we were shocked, like, you know, when he wasn't getting, let's say, the time, he wasn't fitting in at Milan. Because, you know, we talked about his great contribution, not only with Eintracht Frankfurt, getting the, you know, UEFA Cup or Europa League, you know, semifinals. You know him very well, and also with Croatia. So basically, Ibrahimovic has come in, Reg, to sum it up, 5 games unbeaten, including the cup, scored 2 goals. You know, Ante Rebic has woken up, scored 3 goals in the last two games.
Well, that's the Zlatan effect, right? He'll come in there and start slapping guys around, right? And that's
pretty much Reggie.
That's what I think some guys need. Some teams need even that.
That's right. You know, we've talked about lack of leadership and identity on some clubs. And it's funny that you and I always talk about Arsenal and Milan in that sense. Where's the identity on the field? Like, who's the guy that says, hey, follow me? And listen, by no means am I thinking AC Milan is now a top four candidate. Oh, they're going to be a Champions League team. No, but this is finally the road to recovery in terms of setting the belief, the team. Things have been in the last five games. The one bright spot all year has been Theo Hernandez, like the left back we joined from Real Madrid.
Right.
Lucas Hernandez, his brother the French World Cup winning team.
Yeah.
He's their leading scorer. He's AC Milan's leading scorer with six goals, seven at left back, and been fantastic. You know, almost like with a grain of salt, everybody, before everyone starts freaking out, like almost like a Marcelo type in terms of Dani Alves forward thinking.
Yeah, being able to get forward from the defensive position.
Yeah, right.
Tackling from the wings.
Right, modern fullbacks, right? We see it with Liverpool and so on and other teams, but he's been great, you know. And like I said, Ante Rebic has awoken, a guy that, you know, I was ready to, you know, cast off. And Gigi Donnarumma, who's been fantastic, stole a game against Brescia the other day on Friday when, of course, Ante Rebic came on and found the winner. So there's a belief that's changing around AC Milan camp. And yeah, you're right, Reggie. It is the Ibra effect. I don't think that anybody can deny that. Mm-hmm. He's come in five games. They have not lost. They've won four of them. And, you know, slowly, a slow climb in the table. Revelations in Serie A, Lazio. We cannot mention Serie A without Lazio. They will not go away.
Not bad.
They beat Juventus.
I'm beating five, I think, there.
Right. And yes. They went on a 10-match winning streak, Reg, before they tied Roma this past weekend in the Derby della Capitale. I know you like when I say that stuff.
There you go.
Right? And so, to be fair, probably Roma was just a little bit sharper in that game, but 1-1 draw. But there's Lazio with busting out 10 wins in a row or 9 wins in a row before that, beating Juventus in a span of 5 days, not too long ago. And they beat him in the Italian Super Cup and in the league. So, you know, things are a pretty competitive top five, I would say, Reg. And, you know, dare I say that AC Milan is sneaking in there. Inter signing, wow. I mean, I guess you got to go right to this. Eriksen from Tottenham.
Yeah, but you watch Serie A more than me. Maybe you watch Inter more than me. But do you think that's a good signing for them?
Reggie, not only do I think it's a good signing, I think it's a great signing.
Okay.
I think Eriksen is a player that even like a Juventus would really, if you ask a Juve fan, probably the Juve directors, you know, whether it be, you know, Nedved or even Sarri, I think that's always been the guy that they've lacked. And obviously they're looking to a guy like Aaron Ramsey, who's been injured a little bit, obviously you know him very well, and to play that role, because that's the you know, the player in midfield that Juventus, in terms of the Champions League, I think for the Italian Championship, I think we know that Juventus can do what they've done and win. Despite even losing this weekend, I still peg them to win an unprecedented title. But I think in terms of Europe, a guy like Eriksen, you know, those final passes, Reg, I mean, if we take our Tottenham Arsenal neutrality away from it, he is a guy that unlocks, you know, passes and so on. And I think that's exactly what a team like Inter need. You factor in the season that Lukaku's having, like he's been a revelation. Lautaro Martinez has been fantastic. This might be the thing that, you know, gets them back in the groove after, you know, a run of results that, you know, haven't been as favorable. But, you know, there's Antonio Conte again. So there's a lot of good that we talk about with him. But his, you know, he's complaining again, Reg. You know, oh, I don't have the roster. I don't have this.
Well, you know, he's setting himself up for that exit, I think, no?
You know, Reggie, it's almost like that's an MO.
Yeah.
You know, did it with Juventus the first time, right, Reg?
That's what I'm saying.
Like at Chelsea, it was like we were sick of it, hearing the moaning and groaning. I mean, right. Great first season, right? Wins the Premier League. I mean, incredible. But, you know, you can't be a club like he was at Chelsea and Inter and say, well, you know, you're not giving me players. You're big clubs. You have a good base to build from. You know, I just think it got a little old. Here's where I think, Reggie, where for me, I could be wrong. This could be the sealer. You know, certain things happen in a championship season or any, you know, any league, any table. Inter's up 1-0 against Cagliari at home this past weekend. Antonio Conte just let Raja Nainggolan go. He let him go on loan. He said it wasn't in his plans.
Right.
Back to Cagliari. And listen, many people would say, especially in the first half of the season, Raja Nainggolan might be in the top 11 of Serie A.
Of the Serie A season, right?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. Tapered off a little, Reggie. Mm-hmm. But in the first 10, 11 weeks, he was lights out. Well, he scores the tying goal against Inter. you know, so he didn't need me, but, you know, there's that. And again, this is an Inter that's, you know, has had a few key injuries. And a player who's played in that Nainggolan position, Brozovic, the Croatian, is hurt. Didn't play in that match. So, you know, it's almost like that karma thing. And I know Inter fans will get mad at me and so on. But I'm just thinking, you know, like, and then at the end of the match, and granted, there were a few calls that, you know, were a little bit iffy and so on. Inter is, you know, freaking out. They're losing their emotions. And Lautaro Martinez gets sent off, Reg, in this match.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
And goes off, you know, kicking and screaming, literally punching the, you know, as he's going down the tunnel. And not only is he suspended for one match, but he will miss the derby della Madonnina, Reg. That's two. So, you know, the derby in 2 weeks against AC Milan. So it's like, and then again, Antonio Conte's charging at the referee after the match. And for me, these are things that show that, you know, are they panicking, Reggie? You know, and this is where a guy like, you know, Allegri took a lot of heat.
They had the opportunity to have their destiny in their own hands. I mean, three draws in a row while you're chasing a team like you, that's winning, and you have to keep Lazio at bay behind you. That's winning. So, I think the pressure is starting to get to him a little bit, and you're going to see that with the outbursts and the reactions on the field.
And to me, that shows exactly. And to me, that shows it's telling your team something. And I referenced Allegri from last year saying, you know, and Juventus fans, and again, you know, your expectations high when your team keeps winning and so on. But, you know, most of them were, you know, questioning him. And I said, you know, one thing that stood out for me, and again, I think it's easier, as you know, when it's not your team, to take a step back.
Right.
And I looked at it and I said, you know, last year he Allegri's biggest thing was steady goes the ship, you know? And to me, that's the opposite of Conte. So when things are great and you need Conte to push and he's that cheerleader and you play at a certain level and a pace, it's great. But, you know, to me, that was showing a little bit of weakness in terms of Lautaro gets sent off. Arguably him and, well, not arguably, Lautaro Martinez and Romelu Lukaku, quite easily the best partnership in Europe.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So, and you need them to push forward. So, I'm talking a lot about the Serie A season because, to tell you the truth, Reg, it's been a great season. And to say, like, you know, Ronaldo effect, you know, Lazio's been a revelation, great team, Ibra coming back. You know, Inter back on the map in terms of, you know, Ashley Young, you know, was cast away at United, starts his first game at Inter, gets an assist. You know, Eriksen coming in, so we'll see. Exciting Serie A year. In terms of the title race, I think it's good for the league.
You got three teams that are battling it out. That, you know,
yeah, with, for sure.
You know, a couple of losses, a couple of draws, and it's way way tighter now.
It's tight. It is tight, and you know. Again, like these leagues need the big teams to be in it, and there needs to be a story around them. And yes, I am an AC Milan fan, but they're coming to life. Do I see them making up all that ground? You know, Reggie, realistically, because their start was so poor, if they can get into fifth or sixth, it would be a just a win of a year, but they're in with a fight right now. So we'll see. Obviously, I'm interested to see how this plays out. I'm still pegging Juventus to win it, Reg. Obviously, depending how far they go in Champions League, but we shall see.
Well, they're only five. They're only five out of five, or was that an eight or a six? I think they're that's a six. I think they're only five out of fifth. I mean, they're
close.
They're lumped in with Parma and Cagliari, but I mean, from where, like you said, from where they started to where they are now, it's just that's fantastic.
Well, you know, the team that's really shocked us, Reggie, is Napoli, right?
Right.
Of course, they sacked Ancelotti, bringing Gattuso.
Right.
If they didn't win this past weekend against Juventus, you know, they were staring at 14th place, Reg.
Oh, really?
Like, if I would have told you that for all the problems that AC Milan was having, that they were going to be ahead of Napoli at this point,
really?
Based on the year that they started, no one would have believed me,
right?
Including my own self. So that's what I mean. It's been a really interesting year. And like I said, it will be very interesting the path toward the end of the year to see how this goes and how it plays out.
Yeah, most definitely. So we have for those of you that don't know Serie A, we have UA at the top, Inter Milan behind them by 3 points, and below them Lazio behind second by two. So
yeah. I mean, 3-horse race for sure.
Anything can happen, Joe.
I agree. And you know, Simone Inzaghi at Lazio deserves a ton of credit. You know, Ciro Immobile is scoring all kinds of goals. Like I said, let's see if that translates international level. He's always fizzled out, so I'm not sold on that. I know people think I'm crazy, but you know what? Nah, be wary of that. But you know, Luis Alberto has been fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, for Lazio, look for him, Reg, to make, I think, a move at the end of the year, possibly. But you know, I don't think he would do it now. I think he's looking to peg himself in the Spanish team for Euro 2020. So we'll see, but they deserve a lot of credit. So I guess we'll move on from there. But Serie A, I'm telling you, it'll be interesting to see if Lazio hangs in for the race. I think Inter's in it. I think they're in it. And I'd like to see the next 3-4 weeks if Lazio hangs around.
Well,
I think they will.
Confidence has to be high there. So I think they will hang on to overtake Inter. Maybe not with what you say is a pretty good signing in Eriksen, but we'll see. But I think they should be able to. Like, once you start winning like that, the confidence just starts to grow and everyone likes to play. You want to go to the field. You want to practice. So once that belief and that attitude gets into the team, it's hard to lose it in one or two games if you lose. So I think they'll definitely be there at the end. We haven't been on for so long, Joe, that
We got to go to the EPL. We got to look what's happening here. Like, I mean,
but
it's
Joe,
a foregone
team,
conclusion.
Our hometown team was in the finals again, and we still haven't talked about that. But I think we'll talk about that next week.
I think we have to talk about that next week when we preview their new season. Oh my god!
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about CPL next week, and we're going to talk about MLS as well next week. So, North American content. Pretty much all Canadian content, I guess. But we're going to do that. A couple of players from CPL have actually moved to bigger and better things. So, I don't know if I should say better things, but CPL was brought in to be a stepping stone for the Canadian players to get a foothold on professional, what it is to be a pro, and then possibly move on to bigger teams. And it's happening. So we'll talk about that next week. But
for sure.
Like, there's literally like a half an hour left here and we have to talk about the EPL.
I know. Do we have to? Where do we start? So, I mean, we'll just punch the Liverpool ticket. They got to win it, don't they, Reg?
It's over. It's over now. Somebody did ask me, but I did see it on Twitter as well. And I brought it up to some other people as well. And we were talking about Liverpool winning the EPL, and everyone was saying it's not very exciting this year. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And is it because Liverpool's this good, or is the EPL this bad this season?
I did see that. And I remember, I don't know where I saw that. And
Somebody asked me, and then I saw it on Twitter.
I saw it on Twitter. I don't know who said. I know I saw it on Twitter.
And I stopped and I thought about it. And I was like, well, at this point last year, Man City was rolling over teams. And you have to look at Man City's I don't even want to. I can't even be a downfall. Can it be a downfall? I don't think it's a downfall. They've
lost and drawn
a couple of games that they probably would have won last year.
I just think the league is can we not say that, like we've always said this, but the league is just, it's just not easy to win. And listen, I say this on every show because obviously I watch as vehemently and as avidly, I should say, as I watch the EPL, I watch Serie A. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no secret about that. And I've always said, I'm not saying that the league, I always said the Premier League is the best league in the world. I never want to get that out of the way. But it's hard to win in Serie A. Like when we travel to these little teams, quote unquote, it's the same thing in England. There's no easy game. Like, as much as you might joke with your mates and your friends and your buddies and say, you know, on our chat and say, Arsenal's got these 3 points in the bag today. They're playing whatever. When we sit down and we watch our team play, no matter what it is, you never say, you always think the worst and what could go wrong. And the EPL, I think, is just because there's so many good players, so many good teams that, you know, I was thinking about that. Oh, is it because it's, no, I think just think there's so many good teams. Look at Leicester City, Reg. They're going to be in the Champions League, my friend.
Dilly ding, dilly dong.
Right. So, you know, I look at it up and down and I said, you know, Carlo Ancelotti is coaching Everton.
Yeah, really? Like,
this is, you know, like you would think it would be the flip, you know, Ancelotti at Arsenal, Mikel Arteta at Everton, you know?
Well, so, I'm glad it didn't work out like that, but.
No, what I'm saying is, it's the Premier League look at Wolverhampton, look at Wolves.
But I think more to the point is if you want to look at the teams and they're playing, we'll look at the standings and look at the wins and look at the run of form of these teams that are supposedly the big six, we'll say. Okay? So we all know
that's where we can say it.
Yeah, all know Arsenal and we all know where they are. They're in 10th place.
United too, right?
Crazy.
United's
in 5th place, but they're miles away from 12th. Liverpool, exactly, and it's just that if Arsenal had won maybe two of the games that they drawn, they'd probably be in fourth place right now. That's how tight it is, and that's how weak the EPL is this season.
I think that's the argument, and I think when you look at, you got to throw Tottenham in there too, Tottenham, Arsenal, and probably in this order, which is weird because Man United is the one that's furthest ahead. Okay, but hear me out, Tottenham, Arsenal and United, those teams not being in the top four and challenging has hurt the Premier League because those are still the big teams. Because if you had to bet on it, right, like you said, those six or those five every year should be close to the top, right? We don't really believe if you had to bet your money, you know, as on Paddy Power, as Logan used to say, you know, and you're not going to bet that Leicester City and Sheffield are going to be challenging.
And Southampton. Southampton. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Well, Sheffield, so too. That's Sheffield why. And Southampton. I don't understand.
It's incredible. And I think it's because of the star power, meaning the clubs like Arsenal and United and Tottenham, you know, kind of, are we there? Are they not? Yeah, they got Jose, right? So those teams have made it, you know, listen, for Liverpool, it's a perfect storm. It's a perfect storm because those three teams that we mentioned, down years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So is Liverpool consistent or is EPL?
Well, here's why I'll give it to them, because last year, Reg, you made a comment where City was rolling over teams. So City was beating them by 3 and 4 goals, but Liverpool was still beating them.
Right.
So remember, like, what did City win the league by? 2 points last year? One point?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, and those were both record teams. So in terms of the consistency thing, you know, Liverpool, Man City to flop this year, no problem. Because they're both consistently the two best over the last 3 years. And so I think they still would have won, right? But again, you're right. It's we can't believe that we're watching a Premier League table as having both North London teams struggling and Man United being like a shadow of their former self. Not only a shadow of their former self, and here's Man United in fifth, which Logan would be shaking his going, what are you talking about? They're higher up than Arsenal and Tottenham. Right. But the upside, it seems more with Arsenal and Tottenham, even though United has those, you know, up and coming young stars. Where's the, like, where are the guys that are going to carry this club forward for a long time?
Well, a coaching change has to be made.
We all know that. I think if you think that Ole isn't the, you know, I mean, listen, Roy Keane, I love Roy Keane, but oh my God. And I love listening to him, but well,
he tells it like it is though, right?
Straight up. You know, I'm sure most of our listeners, you know, saw it or heard of it, you know, Keane going at it with Jamie Carragher, right. And Roy Keane calling for Ole to have more time. And it's like, no, I think this is it. And I think if they didn't, I think we can all agree. Like, Reg, don't you think they would have got rid of him by now? Like, I think they know that, listen, he's gone at the end of the year. Right. If we get rid of him now, we've had so much instability in this club. We're going to look like idiots anyway.
Right.
So let's just keep him.
Well, the rumor is Pochettino is going to take over next season, which probably bodes well for them. But again, anybody that takes over a team, a new coach has to take over a team. You want to put your identity. You need your identity on that team, and if your identity isn't any one of those players that are on your squad, you need to replace them.
Because you need two windows at least, right?
Well, that's what it is, right?
I agree. Because again, you look at, are you going to rely? And listen, they have Man United. The argument could be made has the best bright young players.
Whoa! Take it easy.
Well, they're close. And I know you don't want to hear that, but Mason Greenwood is a hell of a player.
Okay.
Daniel James.
James. He's fast.
Oh, he's a pretty good player. To me, he's a pretty good player, Reg.
Okay.
He's pretty good. I know Arsenal went with you know, two young starlets score the other day. And, you know, Willock's a good player too.
Well, but, you know. There was a graphic today online, and it's our best players under 20. And to look at the players on that list, it's not who's that kid. It's that guy's amazing. Oh,
I don't doubt it.
Martinelli, Saka, Willock. These guys are playing in these games and doing
well. I guess more to my point, where the United thing was, I guess it's players from their academy, because I guess with Arsenal there's two from the academy, right?
Saka. Maitland-Niles is in there. Reece Nelson, Smith Rowe. There's about six.
Sure, but I think, like, to be fair, I don't think Maitland-Niles. I think he's kind of tapered off, right?
Well, he's not playing his position, right? He's playing right back. So
yeah, I don't think that. I think if you were to look at it, you know, you look at Saka,
who's playing at a position as well.
He's one of them, right? Yeah. No, he's one of them, right? Yeah. An academy product, right?
Right.
The young lad who scored up front.
Eddie Nketiah.
Right. I think he's an academy product as well, right?
He is.
Yeah. So, I mean, young players, I think Arsenal has more young players. But I was talking about just academy players, you know, like that.
Right.
You know, like for me, Greenwood and James, I'm missing somebody else. Am I not? I mean, listen, Rashford's not an old man, is he?
Like, I think 24-ish, I think.
Yeah. So to me, it's like Rashford's not an old hand, right? So he's got to be the guy leading the line. We've talked about them at nauseam. Harry Maguire was like $75 million for that. Like,
well, that's money wasted, in my opinion.
You know,
but and this is why we talked about this before, about the transfer fees and everything like that. If Harry Maguire is going for that much,
United for me destroyed the transfer window, Reggie. Sorry. They've overblown
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
With so many transfers.
Look. And I think Leicester sells their best defender for how much, and look where they are right now.
You would think
that they would fail without their captain, their leader, whoever, Maguire. But look where they are right now. They're not even looking back.
They actually upgrade with Soyuncu.
Oh, for sure they did.
Right? Johnny Evans is more than adequate,
sure,
and does the
is.
Job. You get a guy like Wes Morgan who comes in and plays the cups, and you know he's never going to hurt you because he's, you know, a club legend.
For sure,
you know. It's about doing, you know, the right bit of business again. To reference, you know, Logan again, and it's true. It's that is those things, and you look at United, and you're like, what can go wrong has gone wrong, you see, like, it's just plugging holes. And
well, it's not bad luck on there. It's not bad luck.
No, it's not bad luck.
You're selling Lukaku. You're loaning Sanchez. These are your offensive players. Why are you getting rid of them? Lukaku and Sanchez would help this team immensely right now.
Absolutely.
But you're selling one and you're loaning one and you're making your own problems.
A guy like Romelu Lukaku gets such a... And listen, if everyone says, oh, you're saying that now because of the Serie A. Not at all. If you look at his track record, he's just scored goals. Yeah. And he struggled last year. Who did not struggle at Manchester United last year?
Right.
You know, you're looking at a team, their player of the year has been De Gea for the last whatever amount of years.
Awful.
Like, that is not a good thing when your goalkeeper
is the player of the year every year.
Consistently. You know, if he's your player of the year, like, let's say, it's Alisson 1 year for, Liverpool. But even in those years, even when last year Alisson was fantastic, it wasn't him.
He should give his award to Van Dijk. That's what he should give it to if he ever got it.
And that's my point. It's still Van Dijk. It's still whoever. So this is like how many years in a row now it's been David De Gea. And this year he's shown a lot of weakness too. It's like he's like breaking down too. It's an awful situation. And I think it's not about, personal opinion. It's the biggest club in the world based on, the dollars and the cents. I mean, it's them, Real Madrid and Barcelona. But I think it's Manchester United, right?
Right.
And This is, I don't even know what to say about them.
You forget Paul Pogba's even on the team.
And that's a shame. It's a shame because with his talent, we've talked about this a million times. Now, I do believe this, though. Paul Pogba's getting blamed for a lot of the stuff that's happening, and he's not even around.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was in the team, of course, not the guy that we know he is. So, but again, who's in fifth, Reggie?
United.
And that's what I mean. It's mind-boggling that I'm going at United more than these other teams. But, at least Arsenal, obviously, drawing these games, but they made a change. And I think their change with Arteta, and even though I know people say, wow, he's not proven either. Well, I think that he's a guy who is ready. When you're working for Pep Guardiola, you're not, and if you were working for a Klopp or a Wenger and these guys, Mourinho, you're doing you're putting in your time.
Right.
You're putting in your time and you have a guy in Arteta who loves the club. So, Roy Keane's words are right here. He needs time. I think Ole's time is up.
Yeah.
At the end of the year. But a guy like Arteta needs some time. He needs some time to sustain this project.
Well, I just don't understand why, and I know why, but I don't understand why people think this way. The higher the fee, the better the player. And I don't understand the more experience, the better the coach. I think.
I agree with you, Reggie. It's like, look at Ancelotti. He wasn't the, you have to adjust. And sometimes these new kind of age guys need a chance.
Well, that's what it is.
They need an opportunity.
Brendan Howe, when he came to Bournemouth. Eddie Howe. Brendan Rodgers, probably. I'm looking at Leicester's record right now.
Yeah.
Eddie Howe, he took over at Bournemouth. Young guy. He's 5 years older, I believe, than Arteta, which is, I didn't know Arteta was that young, but anyways. It's just the new way of coaching. And the first thing I saw when Arteta was announced as Arsenal coach, he went into one of the offices and Mertesacker was in there and there's a couple other guys in there and he was like, oh, okay, where are the cameras on the field? First thing, hey guys, how you doing? Where are the cameras?
Yeah.
And they're okay, there's a camera here, there's a camera here, there's a camera here. There's nothing on the backfield? There's nothing on the backfield.
Okay, ready to roll.
Do we have drones? Yeah, we can get drones. Okay, yeah, get drones.
And it's just like, ready to roll.
What coach? Yeah. What Emery getting drones? I don't think so. Is Arsene Wenger using drones? I don't think
so.
Well,
here's what I say. I say this.
New ideas.
People forget Pep Guardiola, when he took over at Barcelona, did not come from Bayern Munich. Didn't come from.
Right.
Came from Barcelona B.
Yeah, he came from the B team. Yeah.
And you say, well, look at the team he had. Of course, we understand that. I get that. That's my first point. My second point is, with all due respect to Arsenal, which is a big club in the world, it's not an easy job to come into. So everyone says, oh, they should have had this guy, got that guy. A lot of these guys don't want to do all the work that is required at Arsenal. Okay. Is it attractive? Well, they're not in Champions League. They're not. So of course an Arsenal job will be attractive, but there's work to do. So to say, like, okay, Pochettino from North London probably wouldn't do it. Okay. We get that. Jose could have went to Arsenal. Yeah. I could have saw that, because Jose is that type of guy. Like, he went to Tottenham. It's pretty similar in terms of, you know, right now, right. Not historically.
Right. Okay. Right.
But like, who's available? Like we said, who's available?
Well, it's not like they should have got Ancelotti. He won the Champions League. I mean, we're not in Champions League. It's going to take another 2 seasons to get into Champions League.
And there you go. And here's a guy on the latter side of his coaching thing. You need a guy with a lot of energy, right? Oh, but he went to Everton. Yeah, but Everton's not looking to get the Champions League. If Everton got to, you know, a Europa League spot, that'd be like, oh my God, a great result for them. You know, so you have to look at what's available. Then you look at, okay, where else were they looking? Who was going to come? Well, a guy similar in terms of Tuchel, right? Maybe that could have been the guy. You know, I thought that would have been, for me, I thought that would have been a better fit, especially with Mertesacker. But given who's available,
right?
Mikel Arteta is a good choice.
I sent out a tweet I'm in a group of Arsenal fans, and we talked during the game, and when they hired him, a couple of guys were like, oh, why, no experience, and I'm like, that's a fantastic, he was a coach, he was a number one assistant to Pep Guardiola the last 3 seasons, Champions League semifinal, won the league twice, I always say that I've never heard anyone say Pep has made me a better player. Everyone says, oh, Arteta has done this with me, Arteta has done that with me. So I know he's one of the people that young players look up to say, you know what, if I listen to him, I can turn into this. So they're looking to turn Pepe into Raheem Sterling, and if you can get him to play like that, then I mean, that'd be fantastic.
Well, I think that just goes to show you, again, I know you've hammered Pep in the past, well, they need these players, but again, when you do ask these questions, when you ask the coaches, when you ask the players who've worked with them, all they do is speak about how good he is in the training and what he does every day. No, but it's true, Reggie, and I think you cannot deny that. He's made, along with his coaching staff, but he's the guy who always gives the credit everywhere to that. It's a way of working, Reggie.
I got to pay $63 million for Rodri when I have Fernandinho.
I'll say this. We get back to this. He's always said, you're right. This, I know. He makes no qualms about it. This is how you win in today's soccer, in today's football, especially in the Premier League. And if you look at it, Reggie, Liverpool had to go and add here and there and get this and get that because, okay, do they have the depth of City? No. But, you know, like, these teams have high-priced guys to win.
They don't have the depth of Arsenal. Never mind City.
I don't know if their depth is that bad, Reg. Oh,
man, their top seven is good, and after that, it's...
Yeah, but Reggie, I think we forget, though. We forget guys like Keita comes in and does a great job.
These guys don't play. They play in FA Cup.
But you don't need them to, Reggie. But it doesn't... You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just... Like, when he comes in, like, he walks into a lot of teams. You know? You have... I know... We're trying to put our neutral eyes on here. You know? Sorry?
In China, maybe.
No, Keita's a good player, Reggie. He's a very good player. Very good player.
I know. I'm giving Logan the gears right now.
No, I bet. But, like, you know, so he's never made qualms about, he knows this is the way to win this Premier League, right? I think when you just look at the way teams play and you ask those guys and so on, they do have taken on his way of playing. This is why I give Liverpool a bit of credit, though, a lot, but Klopp has taken this team, and Klopp's Borussia Dortmund, always high pressing. Klopp will always high press, but his Borussia team's knocked a bit more. Liverpool can play nice football too, but what he's saying is, hey, I can play high octane. Nobody can play as fast as me. They almost remind me of, like, you know, some college basketball fans, Nolan Richardson, 40 minutes of hell.
Arkansas.
So yeah, that's right. Right. And so I'm thinking, just going. I'm thinking, because I think he says to himself, wait a minute, if I try to beat Man City and totally just do all that all the time, I might not be as successful. But here's what I could do as my point of difference. Right. And again, he's just trying to deliver. I think, listen, do you not see this happening? If they deliver this championship, you think that, like, he's already a pretty relaxed guy, but I think Klopp will he might just party for like a whole year because the fan base is just dying for this Premier League title. Like, I've thought about this. They would give up. Liverpool fans, and I'm speaking for them, probably pissed off. But
careful, eh?
They'd give up another Champions League for a Premier League title.
Well, they've never won one, right? So it's...
Think about that.
Might as well. I would give up an FA Cup to win a league or a Champions League.
Let's take a look. Whatever team you support, and that'd be a great poll question. Would you give up your domestic title for Champions League? I know my answer. So what does it depend on? I agree with you.
If
your team's won it.
If I'm Man City, I would say this year I don't care. Because I've won
it
2 years in a row of the league. It's fine.
But if you're Arsenal, I know you'd probably want a Champions League. You won the Premier League.
Yeah, I would want a Champions League for sure. So I can be in the talks with, you know, the Chelsea's and the Liverpool's, I have a seat at the table when you're talking about won a Champions League. Of course we did.
Of course. So and fair enough, because they haven't won, right? So it's the same kind of thing. Right. But I'm just thinking that the most coveted prize in world football, club football, it's got to be this Champions League, is it not?
Of course it is.
Dilly dee dilly dong.
Of course it is.
So, you know, and so AC Milan, they're like 12, 13 behind Juventus, but has enough, you know. I know guys are going to say, well, you're 14 behind. Whatever. They have double.
Yeah, but that's still, those type of numbers are silly. You know, right. I mean,
but who's more Champions Leagues?
Well, AC Milan, right?
Right. So what I'm saying is, I agree. It's where you're at. But I'm thinking this Liverpool team has a legitimate shot. Okay, they won the Premier League for me. But, you know, they're just like, I know maybe I'm just, it boggles my mind that, you know, their fan base is just like, they would rather win. They want to win that and lift that title to say, well, exactly. You know, to an Arsenal fan, to all these fans, say, hey, we finally got ours.
Yep, seat at the table, right?
Right.
I can sit down with Chelsea United. I can sit down with Leicester. I can sit down with Arsenal.
Isn't that amazing? Now, guys, we're talking about the Premier League title. But we do forget, and Logan's probably like yelling at us through this thing. But, you know, they did win the league before. But it's still been a long time.
When did they win the league?
We're going to get in trouble now for knowing this, right?
Why would I know this? I don't know this. It wasn't the Premier League, was
it? It wasn't the first year of the Premier League.
It wasn't. 95, I believe.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I think it was Blackburn that won it, didn't they?
They haven't won. The first one, I think, was United.
And so there's Blackburn?
Blackburn.
Oh, it was United?
Blackburn's won.
Oh, okay.
Leicester, yeah. Blackburn, Chelsea, Arsenal, United.
Well, like the outliers. The outliers, what? Obviously, Leicester. Blackburn,
yeah, and then the other ones have been won. Oh, City, I forgot. And then all the other ones have been won by the quote unquote top four, I should say. But I mean, I guess I would. If I haven't won the league, I would want to win the league. If I won the Champions League last year, I'd probably put the brakes on that. Try to do well in it, but if I'm in a battle,
it's just amazing to me.
I put all my eggs in that basket.
It's just amazing to me that a team that is in a good spot to go again far in the foremost competition in Europe is for in a heartbeat. I think most 90%, if not 99% of Liverpool fans would say, yeah, screw that. We just won the Champions League. We need the Premier League because we need to have a seat at that table.
Right. Right.
Which is still a lesser trophy than it's amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe just this just amazes me, Reg. But anyway, I just think it's.
Like we said, it depends on what you've won in the past, and if you've won it, if you've won one in the past, you've never won the other one, and it's high time to get the other one, right? So
I think a parting shot. Now, this we've been gone for a long time. When I'm going to leave it at this for me,
all right?
I'm going to give Tottenham a shot, which will make our Arsenal fans happy.
Okay.
But it goes against my, you know, I'm always trying to be Johnny neutral.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm actually going to give Inter, in helping Arsenal and hitting Tottenham, I'm actually going to give Inter a little bit of a boost. The world is really changing.
You're going to give Inter Milan a boost.
Well, here's why. I'm going to.
Wow.
You guys, some of you guys might have seen this, and I was thinking of you, Reggie, and Arsenal fans, and Fred, and et cetera. Eriksen signs for Inter. They have a picture, a photo of Eriksen in the trophy room at Inter. You know where this is going, right? And I think the caption was like, what are these? With trophies. So I don't think I have anything else to say on
that's good.
So I'm going to leave it at that.
You have to send me that. That's good. That's going to be my screensaver on my phone. What are these?
Yeah. Right. And here I am boosting it. So anyway, there you go. But yeah. I can't say anything else. That's the mic drop for me.
That's awesome. that's great.
Jeez.
That's a good hour. So and we didn't even touch about the Mourinho hiring. We didn't talk about Pochettino leaving. We didn't talk about MLS. We didn't talk about TFC. We didn't talk about
the draft. Oh, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We
didn't talk about anything.
But we will.
We haven't talked about USA Canada in Orlando and the debacle.
Okay,
there.
So I lied. Should we leave him with one little nugget and you touched upon it?
Okay.
And we'll talk about it more. CPL sells, you know, there's player movement, but how about we deal with Tristan Borges, you know, connection in the GTA, Forge is player,
right?
You know, Coach Bobby,
Hamilton, yep.
You know, of course, they won the inaugural season, and Tristan Borges was the MVP of the league, gets sold. We'll talk about it, I'll get it sorted out, but he's moving to Belgium, and we'll talk about that, and we'll start the show at that, and, you know, and we'll get the transfer fee. So good on A, Tristan. Congratulations. Great player. Great young man. Congratulations to Forge and their organization for, you know, making sure that happens. And congratulations to CPL for the selling new players. So we'll get to that and we'll talk more about that next week. And we'll kind of, you know, I would say plug those gaps.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of things I want to talk about within the country and within the country regarding the soccer program here. So we'll definitely be talking about that in the next up and coming weeks. But Joe, I know you did your parting shot. Is that it? Do you have anything else to say?
Nada.
Nada? Okay, perfect. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.